validity of our spiritual life is tested in the hidden places where only God sees.
God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliot shares another lesson in following the Master. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you about some wonderful things that have been happening in Eastern Europe. This is a letter from my own brother. My brother Dave Howard lives in Singapore, and his job is to be the director of the World Evangelical Fellowship, which involves his traveling round and round and round the world. My brother Tom and I often laugh about the fact that we never have the slightest idea what continent Dave is on unless we pull out his itinerary and check it out. But he does get wonderful opportunities to meet Christians of all stripes all over the world. And in a letter that he wrote last November, he said, "I'm just back from Europe where I was able to kill four birds with one stone in a 10-day period. First, I went to Bucharest, Romania, for the first General Assembly of the newly formed Evangelical Alliance. This was an amazing time. Usually such assemblies may bring 50 to 100 or 200 people. In Bucharest, there were 4,000. We met in a huge and magnificent assembly hall built by Ceausescu, the late tyrant. It has wide marble staircases, massive marble pillars, wonderful acoustics. 11 months ago, Ceausescu stood on that platform and announced that the changes sweeping Eastern Europe would never change Romania. A month later, he was dead. And 11 months later, 4,000 evangelicals worshipped and praised the Lord in that same spot. A Christian British member of Parliament who was with us made the comment from the platform that this reminded him of the time Christ cleansed the temple. He said, 'This house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves.' But now," he said, "this house was a den of thieves, but you have made it a house of prayer." During the assembly, a few of us had an audience with President Iliescu, who is considered nothing more than a neo-communist, which is undoubtedly true. It may be the first time he has ever had contact with evangelicals or with the gospel. In the assembly itself, every time reference was made to the previous repressive 40 years and the new freedoms now enjoyed, there were great roars and applause. It was a privilege to be present on this historic occasion. I want to say here that the saints really have no idea how far the effects of their obedience may go. When you think of those 4,000 who came just to that one meeting, undoubtedly they represent tens of thousands of other Christians who couldn't have gotten to Bucharest for that conference or who didn't know about it. Undoubtedly those people were praying. Thousands and thousands are praying in places where there is still no freedom and great repression. Who knows how far the effects of your obedience may go? Can you imagine that your prayers might influence world events? Don't ever suppose that your flimsy little one voice cannot move world events. What we're doing is simply aligning ourselves on God's side and simply saying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." We don't know what God's will is for world events. We don't know what God may have to do to teach our country some lessons. We have been a disobedient people. We have not been repentant of our sins. We have not prayed as faithfully as we should. We have not stood up to be counted in matters like abortion, pornography, divorce, homosexuality. What may God require of us before He can bless our country the way we would like to have it blessed? And so when we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, we know that it may cost us something. We must be faithful in hidden things. The Bible has quite a lot to say about hidden things. My constant emphasis on this program is faithfulness, obedience, trust. The Bible says, "Your Father, which seeth in secret." The reality of our Christian life is tested not by how many times we go to church, or how spiritual our audible prayers may be, or how lustily we may sing in the choir. The validity of our spiritual life is tested in the hidden places where only God sees. Psalm 51:6, "In hidden parts make me to know wisdom." Isaiah 45, verse 3, "I will give thee hidden riches." 1 Peter 3:4 refers to the hidden man of the heart. And Revelation 2:17 says that God will give us to eat of hidden manna. I love the old prayer that says, "Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid." You have no secrets that God does not know. Think about that. Nothing that's hidden is hidden to God. So I want to encourage you to pray. We have no idea how far the effects of our obedience may go. When you think of the people whose lives have blessed you, could they have imagined that their ordinary, humble walk with God could possibly affect your life? And by the same token, when you think of the people who have hurt you, probably a lot of them never even knew that they hurt you. They did not know how far their disobedience might have gone. So which do you want to be? A faithful, obedient servant, or a slothful and disobedient one? Our obedience matters. The other side of this same letter from my brother Dave that I read to you tells another lovely little story that I thought would be encouraging, another one that encourages us to pray. He says, "From Budapest, I took a train to Rome. This was a 26-hour trip. I had a private compartment in the only sleeper car on the train. There was only one other compartment occupied, so the car was very quiet. I had a full day for rest, reading, writing, and making it my monthly day of prayer. It was a very enjoyable trip. The only problem was that there was no diner on the train. So it turned out to be primarily a day of fasting also. Late in the day, I was quite hungry and simply told the Lord that since there was no food on the train and nothing available on the station platforms when we stopped, it would be nice if he would somehow provide me with some food. 20 minutes later, the porter, who spoke not a word of English, showed up at my compartment unannounced with a tray with a beautiful sausage omelet, 2 thick slices of bread, an apple, a slice of pepper, and a cup of coffee. I felt like Elijah being fed by the ravens. In fact, I had read that story that day in my regular reading. Does God hear our prayers? Is it worthwhile to have a quiet time with God? It is so wonderfully faith-strengthening. Just think of Dave reading the story of Elijah that morning in his reading, and then this simple little prayer. It certainly isn't that Dave couldn't have gone through the day fasting. I'm sure he's fasted on purpose, but this was not on purpose this time. And so when he was hungry, he just mentioned to the Lord, I suppose rather casually, that it would be nice if he could have something to eat. And here comes this porter with this sausage omelet, 2 thick slices of bread, an apple, a slice of pepper, and a cup of coffee. And some listeners will be saying, well, the porter was on his way anyway. He already had the food. He was supposed to bring it. It would have come whether Dave prayed or not. Oh, is that right? Do we really know that? We do not know the mystery of prayer. And I believe that from before the foundation of the world, God ordained that little incident for my brother Dave. in his sovereign ordination of that order of events, God also planned Dave's prayers. God knew that Dave would be praying, and so he ordered the answer to come in answer to the prayer. In other words, I do believe that God has created a universe in which the mechanism of prayer is built in, so that our prayers really do matter. They really do change things. They really do cooperate with God. May He make us faithful prayers. If you don't feel as though you're very good at it, pray anyway. Pray when you feel like praying. Pray when you don't feel like praying. And pray, as somebody has said, until you feel like praying. God bless you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.